Today's top stories, the best bets, and Jason Page. This is the Cash In Early Edition.
All right. Good to have you with us. Wednesday, September 27th. 2023. Sam Yarnell's having car trouble. He won't be on the show today. Can't make it up. Can't make it up. It is the 27th. You just have to trust me on it. So we'll do a slightly abbreviated version of the show today since Sam isn't here to provide the handicapping segment he normally does. MLB playoff races continue to heat up. The most Cubs thing that could happen to the Cubs happened last night. We'll let you hear it for yourself. Travis Kelce's talking about what a great weekend he had. The Taylor Swift edition. Don't kiss and tell. I'm trying to get this frog out of my throat. Keep having to mute the mic. This frog in my throat today. All right. Did I say it's Thursday, by the way? It's Wednesday. I don't know why. I'm all screwed up right now. Trying to just keep it all together. We have good news to start the show. Big news to start the show today. The Jets have addressed their quarterback situation. You were waiting for it. No, it's not Kirk Cousins they traded for. No, they didn't sign Carson Wentz. No, they didn't sign Matt Ryan. The Jets have signed veteran free agent Trevor Siemian to their practice squad. Man, I'm glad I'm not a Jets fan. I am so glad I'm not a Jets fan. Because this just has to be torture right now for fans of this franchise. You literally have an organization that is admitting the status quo is not acceptable. You've got fans losing their minds. You have reportedly players in the locker room starting to lose their minds as this thing starts to implode from within. You got Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee yesterday talking about the fact that the team has to, you know, ignore sort of the outside. And he's right, by the way. He's absolutely right. There is so much noise from the outside that's permeating the inside. If you can't keep that stuff in, it's like a boat taking on water. Anybody who's seen a very particular movie knows when a boat starts taking on water, there's only one thing that's going to happen. It's going to sink. And the Jets right now look like a ship that's on the verge of sinking. I don't know how you keep it from happening at this point. I really don't. And Trevor Siemian is not the answer. But I wanted to start out the show today talking about another former NFL quarterback that, and I know that some people say this is low-hanging fruit. This is sort of an easy mark, an easy target to talk about, but I want to come at it from maybe a slightly different angle. Colin Kaepernick wrote a letter to Jets general manager Joe Douglas. He sent him a letter in the hopes that Joe Douglas would put him on the practice squad to be the quarterback for the practice squad. So this is basically Colin Kaepernick begging for an opportunity, even if it means being on the practice squad. I'll read you the letter, dated September 21st, 2023. Joe, I hope this letter finds you in great spirits despite the less than ideal start to a big season. I'm wishing you, your staff, and the players a great game this weekend as you look to bounce back. I'm writing, of course, in response to the unfortunate loss of Aaron Rodgers. By the way, he's not dead. I know the aspirations this season were and still are to win a championship. And so that Hall of Fame-sized hole will need to be filled as best as possible to keep the team on a Super Bowl track. As of right now, Zach Wilson is charged with that task, and I wish him and the rest of the team the best moving forward. However, I know that there are currently depth issues at the position, and I've heard that the backup spot is likely to be filled by a veteran quarterback. As much as I would love the opportunity to fill that spot, I'm writing you in hopes that you can imagine a much different approach involving me. I would be honored and extremely grateful for the opportunity to come in and lead the practice squad. I would do this with the sole mission of getting your defense ready each week. If I were able to fill this role for the team, I believe this allows for multiple things. One, it gives your defense the advantage of getting a truer read on the more mobile, athletic, versatile quarterbacks it will face when in weeks 4, 5, and 6, Mahomes, Wilson, and Hurts. I would consider it a privilege to be able to do this and would take on this responsibility with the dedication and passion as if it were the QB1 position. Two, this would also allow you guys as an organization to take a real look at where I'm at football-wise in game-like situations against an elite defense while also not putting any competitive pressure on Zach. I understand the importance of keeping him confident and focused as QB1, and I would only look to boost that confidence in any interactions that we may have if I was given this role with the team. In a perfect world for the Jets, Zach Wilson finds his stride and shows that he's able to lead this championship-caliber team that you've put together to the Super Bowl. I believe a confident Zach Wilson has the tools to do this. However, in the event that this is not the case, I would love to offer you a risk-free contingency plan. This is Colin Kaepernick literally begging to be a practice squad quarterback. That's where we're at now. And Kaepernick, I think, is what, 36? 36 years old? Hasn't played in the league since what, 2017, 2016, whatever it is? And the Jets have obviously made it clear they're going to go and get a veteran QB who will likely wind up supplanting Zach Wilson at some point this season. They have to try something to bail the water out of this ship as it slowly starts to founder, I guess. But the Kaepernick thing is interesting to me. And I want to preface this by saying, nobody screamed more and louder on the airwaves when I was on in San Francisco. When I was on nationally with NBC Sports, nobody screamed louder saying that Colin Kaepernick was screwed over royally by the NFL and its owners. Nobody said it more than me. But with that being said, this has to be pointed out. Asking to be signed to a Jets practice squad now is the equivalent of asking for a ride on the Titanic or the Hindenburg. Like his career, unfairly so, both have sunk and blown up. Colin Kaepernick, if he were this desperate, and look, pride and ego and the idea that he was screwed over by the league, which we know to be the case, they settled. We don't know what the terms were, how much it was. But the league basically admitted without admitting, we colluded to keep Colin Kaepernick out of the NFL. After the whole kneeling for the national anthem thing and everything that followed that. And it was so much more than that. But now you're talking about a situation where he's begging to be a practice squad quarterback. If Colin Kaepernick wanted back in so bad, he could have done this 4 years ago. I guarantee you somebody would have put him on a team as a practice squad quarterback. But now you're asking to be a practice squad quarterback at 36 years old, having not won a game in the league in 6 or 7 years, which, by the way, Trevor Siemian hasn't either. So before we all go, well, but Trevor Siemian's only 31. Trevor Siemian has not won a game in the NFL, I think, since 2017. Something like 6 years. But if Kaepernick, I guarantee you, if you gave him some truth serum, if you pulled him into a room and said, hey, do you regret not showing this sort of desperation 3 or 4 years ago? He'd have to say yes. And granted, his life has turned out how it's turned out, and he's had an impact in so many other areas of this world. Probably not what his life plan was when he signed up to play in the NFL and was one throw away from winning a Super Bowl. Probably not the way he thought it would all pan out. But his life plan, his life course changed, and he adjusted with it. Now he's trying so desperately to get back in the league that he'll take a job as a practice squad player, which makes like, you know, $50,000 a year or something like that. And so far, the Jets still won't do it. No, they're going to put Trevor Siemian there and roll the dice with him. Not Carson Wentz, not Matt Ryan, not a trade for Kirk Cousins. No, you're going to get Trevor Siemian. The Jets season's over. As it stands right now, today, Wednesday, September 27th, 2013, the Jets season's over. We all know it. But they're going to try and make it look like they're making the effort. And look, if you're going to go bad, then just tank. You're already 2 games behind the Dolphins. You haven't even had to play them yet. You're already a game behind the Bills. You're tied for last with the Patriots. You're both 1-2. I mean, what are you doing if you're... What's the direction of the organization? You've had 3 weeks. You've had 3 weeks and damn near 3 games, full games, of Zach Wilson to rechart, to recalibrate, to figure out a direction that makes sense. And the best you can do on September 27th is you go and sign Trevor Siemian to your practice squad? That's the best you can do? That's the best you could give your fan base? Why bother? Why bother? Just suck then. Throw in the towel on the season. Go get Caleb Williams with the number one pick. Have Aaron Rodgers come back next year if he can. Groom Caleb Williams to be the future of the franchise and see if he can make a run next year. With a Randall Cobb that's a year older and an Alan Lazard that's a year older. I mean, what are you doing? Joe Douglas should be on a podium at a press conference right now telling this fan base. He should be telling this fan base exactly what the plan is. What is your plan? Why should Jet fans have any hope? Why should Jet fans have any hope that this team has a chance to do something meaningful this season? I want to know what it is. I'm sure Jets fans want to know what it is. Joe Douglas should be at a podium. Woody Johnson should be sitting there next to him. Robert Saleh to the right of them. And they should all be outlining for this fan base to give some confidence to the guys in that locker room. Somebody should be accountable. Somebody should be standing up and saying, this is the plan. This is how we're going to fix this. It's still early enough at 1-2 that it could be fixed. We know this is a championship caliber defense. What's the plan? Right now, I think the Jets don't have one. We'll be right back. All right, good to have you with us. September 27th, 2023. The Cash In Podcast. Sammy Arnell has the day off today. That's not going to stop us, though. We'll still have some sports betting topics to get into, particularly from the world of baseball. This is why I can't take Deion Sanders seriously. And it's almost like he's trolling us sometimes, right? He still wants to pretend that he's Deion Sanders of, you know, his playing days with the glass, with the sunglasses and the hat in the press conferences. And he still just wants to be that guy so badly. And the media has acquiesced. They have knelt at his altar. And now it's every excuse in the world as to why this team got its doors blown off in Oregon. Yeah, Travis Hunter was the reason they lost by, you know, 40 points or 30 points, whatever the hell it was. Yeah, that's the reason why. So they would have lost by 3 touchdowns instead of, you know, 4. Or maybe they would have lost by, you know, 15 or 16 instead of 30. Oh, but it, you know, it's so much better than it was last year. It's not hard to be better than they were last year. They were one of the worst teams in college football. They were worse than UConn. And it's hard to be worse than UConn. But this is why I just can't take Deion seriously. I can't do it. Did you see the story about Deion Sanders filing for 5 new trademarks, including F around and find out? This is what Deion Sanders is doing. You know who's not doing that? Nick Saban's not doing that. You know who's doing that? Mark Richt's not doing that. You know who's doing that? Dabo Swinney's not doing that. You know who's doing that? Marcus Freeman's not doing that. I can keep going. There's a lot of really good college football coaches out there that ain't doing that. You know who's doing that? The coach at Oregon's not doing that. Deion's filed for 5 new trademarks through his attorney on behalf of Primetime Enterprises. According to On3.com, he's filed for the trademark Ain't Nobody Care. A phrase he's been saying since he was at Jackson State. F around and find out. It's a phrase that you'll see on the security guard for Sanders on his t-shirt. We keep receipts. It's another one he wants to trademark. He's continued to use that since the Buffaloes upset TCU in week 1 of the college football season. Says it's a reminder that Colorado won't forget the doubters or haters. Pitbull in pumps. A phrase referencing his agent, Constance Schwartz Marini, whom he calls the Pitbull in pumps. Working or twerking. A phrase that he's used when he's asking those close to him, whether it be family, coaches, or players, if they're working hard. This is what Deion's working on, apparently. Filing trademarks. So he can use them on blazers, sleepwear, sweatsuits, other types of clothing. I just can't. Last year, he filed to register 4 trademarks. Oh, no, last week he filed to register 4 trademarks, including Prime Effect, Coach Prime, It's Personal, and Daddy Buck. So this is what this guy's worried about. It's all about the business. Yeah, he'll talk a good game. He might even be able to coach a little bit. And he's got some talented players. Not necessarily on the defensive side of the ball, and not necessarily on the offensive line. But he does have some talented players. And as we've learned in this country, people will buy into hype. So there will be players that go there just because of the Deion Sanders hype. And I would love to be in some of these recruiting living rooms where the Nick Sabans and the Richts and Ryan Day and all these guys, where they're competing to get these players that Deion's going for. I'd love to be in these recruiting living rooms to see how they combat the hype and the hype machine that's Deion versus the reality of college football and all of that stuff. Ryan McGee of ESPN asked an interesting question of Deion today at a press conference. I want you to listen.
I don't have a message. I don't take my time to respond and to defend myself. Why would I do that? I'm giving you a microphone if I'm doing it. I'm giving you solace that you're in my life. I don't care. I really don't. So if it's been that way all my life, you would think that I'm used to it. I'm not new to this. I'm true to this, and I keep going. So I'm good with that, man. I'm good with that. This is a comfortable place for me.
So what do you teach your guys in the locker room who are new?
It's about us. It's not about them. It's about us. Everywhere we go, even in your darn families, you're going to have detractors. You're going to have naysayers. You're going to have doubters, even in your darn family. And you guys are all shaking your heads like, yeah, my aunt, she ain't no good. Yeah, I know. Yeah, my sister ain't. Yeah, she's ignorant. You know I'm telling the truth. That's because it's going to be like that. God would always allow somebody to be in your path that have a disdain or dislike for you. It's up to you to keep going. I don't stop. I keep going. I don't have stop in me. Not whatsoever, man. Thank you, sir. Great question, though.
Oh, man. It's all about Deion. Not about the players. And maybe in some regards, he's trying to deflect attention away from the players. Or deflect attention away. But it's just the way the media sucks up to him. Like I said, it's fun now. They get their doors blown off by USC this weekend in Boulder in front of what's going to be a raucous crowd that stormed the field when they beat Nebraska and Colorado State. Let me tell you, it's going to be a somber atmosphere in Boulder on Saturday if this team gets waxed again, this time on their home field. What's the odds? What's the spread on that game? The spread on that game is 21.5. Colorado's a 21.5 point home underdog. Now, last week, I would have taken them plus the 21 or 21.5 on the road in Oregon. I'll be the first one to admit it. I thought at the very least, you know, they down 28 late, you get a touchdown, backdoor cover, down 27 late, you get a touchdown, garbage touchdown, like they did in this game, and you get a backdoor cover. There wasn't even a chance for that. I mean, the Oregon just cut off the airway. And that was it. Choked them out quickly. And look, you know, USC is coming in. And Caleb Williams is coming in. And they've had to hear all about Shedeur Sanders. And they have to hear Deion after the last game talking about, well, you better get us now. Because we ain't going to be any worse than this. It could get worse this week. If you think Oregon's good, wait until you see USC. You're about to find out. F around and find out. So Deion's security guard has. Well, Colorado's about to F around and find out. I don't see no college game day in Boulder this week. You don't see tons of cameras and TV vans and college game day buses in Boulder this week. Some of that shine's already come off. And after this week, who knows? Yeah, maybe they'll beat Arizona State. Like I said, This is still a team that's going to struggle to be bowl eligible. Think that over for a second. We got fans storming the field against Nebraska and Colorado State. This is a team that's going to struggle just to be bowl eligible in 2023. And yet, you've got Deion up there acting like, oh, this is just the beginning of the greatest thing ever. Let's say they win 5 or 6 games this year from a recruiting standpoint. Nick Saban walks into your room, says, come play for me. Dabo Swinney says, come play for me. Mark Richt says, come play for me. Marcus Freeman says, come. All these different coaches. Now, who knows? Marcus Freeman may not be much longer for Notre Dame because it sounds like there could be openings out there that fit his eye too. And that's the other thing about Deion. I'm still not convinced Deion is in this for the long haul. I'm not sold on the idea that Deion is committed to Colorado and staying there. If a better offer comes his way. This is a business guy. This is a guy who's just filed 9 different trademark requests. This is a business guy. Or as Jay-Z used to say, I'm a business man. Not a businessman. I'm a business man. It's the business of Deion. And he's got his kids sort of intertwined in that, and he could take them with him. I don't think we ultimately know what the end game is for Deion. I don't think it's Colorado. I don't think that's his final resting place. I guess we'll see. Either way, they're a 21.5-point underdog this weekend at home against USC. Good luck. Continuing on this Wednesday edition of The Cash In, Sam Yarnell is off today. Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow if he hasn't been abandoned on the side of the road somewhere. Or eaten by a bear. By the way, the total on that USC-Colorado game is 73.5. And that's a number that was similar to what we had with Colorado and Oregon. And that game didn't even come close to hitting the number. And I suspect, with no Travis Hunter again for Colorado, they're going to struggle. They're going to struggle to score points, and they're going to struggle to keep Shedeur Sanders clean in the pocket. I don't know why I would go with the over in this game. It feels like the only bet to me is the under. I love home underdogs typically. So Colorado at 21.5 is still, and again, I say all of this with the caveat that I don't think Colorado is nearly as good as people make them out to be, but I still think they could be good enough to stay within 21.5 at home. By the way, Michigan State officially fires Mel Tucker today. That just in. ESPN reporting that. Pete Thamel reporting on it. Michigan State officially firing Mel Tucker for cause. And that's not going to be a pretty breakup. You know there's going to be tons of litigation that takes place in that whole thing. So the baseball postseason continues to take shape. And if you watched last night, did anybody see what happened in the Cubs game? Why is my phone doing that? I have no idea. That was strange. Had like Lady Gaga playing on my phone, and I have no idea from where. That was the weirdest thing ever. If you've been paying any attention to the postseason, chase that's going on right now. The most Cubs thing that could have possibly happened to the Cubs happened last night. They were up, I think, 6-0 in Atlanta against the Braves, and no lead is safe in Atlanta against the Braves. And then the wheels fell off. 6-5, Cubs on top against the Braves. And the lead is about to go bye-bye in the most Cubs way possible.
And a 3-2. Swung on a fly ball out towards right center field. Suzuki over to his right with room. He dropped it! He dropped the ball! 2-run score! Oh, my! He was right there, and Suzuki lost it. What a break for the Braves, and they have the lead.
Yep, the call courtesy of 680 AM The Fan. Braves go on to win it, and the Cubs are hanging on by a thread right now when it comes to the National League wild card. They are a half game ahead of Miami and two clear of Cincinnati. And San Diego's still on life support along with the Giants. So it's essentially right now a race between Arizona, Chicago, Miami, and Cincinnati for two spots. Arizona's 83-74, second wild card. Philadelphia's already clinched the first wild card. Chicago is 82-75. They have the third wild card by a half game over Miami at 81-75 and Cincinnati at 81-77. So that's where we are right now as far as the wild card races in the National League. Meanwhile, over in the American League, Yankees dealt the Blue Jays a loss last night, but Toronto's still in good shape at 87-70. They are two games clear of Houston and Seattle for the second wild card. Houston at 86-72 is a half game ahead of Seattle for the third and final wild card. Seattle getting a win last night at home, finally snapping a skid, which looked like it was going to take them out of the postseason altogether. Ty France doing good things.
Danik delivers. Swinging a well-hit ball deep into the gap in left center by Ty. This one is gone. Goodbye, baseball. Ty France into the pen in left center field. His 11th home run of the year. Trots around the bases with the Mariners' 6th run of the night. It's now the Mariners 6 and the Astros 1.
Astros radio on the call, or I should say Mariners radio on the call. And how about 40,000 at T-Mobile Park for that game last night? Think they got postseason fever again, chance to make the playoffs for a second straight season. And again, Mariners controlling their own destiny. Not just as it relates to this, you know, final wild card spot or the second wild card as it could be, but even as it relates to the AL West, which they could still conceivably wind up winning if they win out. This is the problem. Man. Mariners had this incredible run in August. Right out of the All-Star break, they hit the pedal and went hard. We talk about this all the time. When are you peaking? I want to be playing my best baseball at the end of the season. I want to be playing my best football at the end of the season. Basketball, hockey, whatever sport you're talking about. Although in hockey, it's different because a goalie could get hot. Look what happened with Florida last year, the Panthers. Barely got into the playoffs. Basically, we're on the verge of elimination against the Bruins. Goaltender gets hot, and all of a sudden, they wind up in the Stanley Cup final. And eventually, that hot hand sort of ran out. But you go and take a look at, when do you want to be playing your best baseball? Yes, that incredible run in August got the Mariners back into the race. But then just recently, they dropped 4 in a row. And they've lost 6 of 10. And they've got to crank it up again here in the final week of the season if they're going to wind up making the playoffs. And again, they got one more with Houston tonight. They could put Houston in the rearview mirror tonight with a win. And you've got Miller versus Valdez, which should be an interesting matchup. And we'll see what, you know, what transpires tonight in Seattle. But then it's 4 against Texas to finish the season. They sweep Texas. They're in. That's it. They're in. What's truly wild, though, and who could, again, who could predict this stuff? We're looking at a scenario right now. I mean, if Toronto stumbles down the stretch, you could wind up with 3 teams from the AL West in the postseason. Who would have thought that before the year started? As it stands right now, you're looking like you're going to have 3 teams from the AL East in the postseason with Baltimore, Tampa Bay, and Toronto. And I will keep saying it. And I don't know what the current odds are. I'll check them as I sit here and talk to you guys. But to me, it's still Baltimore, whose odds dropped. Yesterday, they were plus 700. Now they're plus 650. Could have gotten them at 1,500 just a couple of weeks ago to win a World Series. I mean, Baltimore's going to win 100 games if they win 2 more out of the final 5 games of the season. Talk about blowing away your win total number, huh? Oh, man. By the way, there are still odds available right now over on FanDuel Sportsbook, the unofficial sportsbook of Cash In with Jason Page. Unofficial, why? They don't pay us. The Dodgers are minus 340 to win 100 games. Tampa Bay is plus 1,100. The Rays are 96-62. They would have to win their final 4 games in order to get to that 100 win mark. You can get them right now at plus 1,100. And you have to wonder, do they play it out? I don't think so. I don't think that's a bet I could make. I mean, if you want to throw $10 on it to win 110, okay, go ahead. If you're into those sorts of small wagers. But the Dodgers right now, 97-60. They have 5 games left. They need 3 wins, and Vegas thinks they're going to get there because they're minus 340. Your World Series odds right now, Atlanta at plus 260, the Dodgers at plus 420, the Orioles at plus 650. I wouldn't bet the Braves or the Dodgers if you gave me your money. Because I think one, if not two of those teams will somehow stumble, because that's what happens in the baseball postseason. Orioles at plus 650, the Rangers at plus 800. The Texas Rangers have, this is crazy to me. The Rangers could potentially miss the postseason altogether. And the Rangers are plus 800 to win the World Series. 4th best odds. Rays are plus 1,200. Phillies are plus 1,200. Astros are plus 1,200. Toronto is plus 1,800. Twins are plus 1,900. Brewers plus 1,900. Seattle at 2,800. Diamondbacks at 5,000. Another team. I mean, how do you not throw a few bucks on Arizona at such a high number when you know they're going to be there now? They're going to be in the postseason. How do you not throw a few shekels on the D-backs at plus 5,000? Cubs hanging on to that third wild card spot there, plus 6,000. The Marlins at plus 7,000 and the Reds at plus 49,000. Seems like a random arbitrary number, doesn't it? By the way, did you see in the Mariners game last night? Foul ball gets hit into the stands. Mariners pitcher George Kirby's on the mound, getting ready to throw his next pitch. Somebody, a kid, like a young person, throws the ball back onto the field, or throws a ball onto the field. It hits the pitcher on the mound. First of all, sign that kid up. He's obviously got a good arm. But secondly, what are you doing in your own ballpark? And it was a Mariners fan who threw a ball out to the mound. Maybe he thought he was just, hey, I'm giving this back to you, George Kirby. Throws it out onto the field, and Kirby gets grazed with it in his chest. Could you imagine if that ball being thrown out of the stands by the fan had been thrown a little bit higher, if it had hit Kirby in the head, hit him in the eye, hit him in his pitching? I mean, there's so many ways that could have gone sideways. The fan was ejected from the game. But could you imagine how badly that could have gone? If it had been at Wrigley Field, it would have definitely hit the pitcher in the head. It would have hit Marcus Stroman in the head, and he would have been lost for the rest of the season. That's the way it would go if it had been the Cubs. Oy vey. It's crazy. All right, let me finish it with this today on the show. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Wah, wah, wah. Something like that. Let me finish it with the good, bad, and the ugly today. Hats off to you, Tyreek Hill. During a Twitch stream, we're on Twitch, by the way, JasonPage77. We're also on X at the back page, Facebook and YouTube too. Just look for the cash in. On a Twitch stream with wide receiver Mike Evans, talking about what he's going to do when his career is over. And Tyreek Hill says he's retiring at the end of this contract. He's going to retire young. Make all his money and get out of there before you become a walking vegetable. I think it's smart. Tyreek Hill says when his playing career is done, he wants to be a porn star. I would play the audio for you, but the audio quality wasn't great. You're going to have to take my word for it. Even Mike Evans went catatonic when Tyreek Hill expressed this desire to be a porn star. Basically said, do what makes you happy, bruh. I've said a million times, man, if you got the right appendages, if you've got the right skills, plenty of Viagra, and go have at it. Go be a porn star. That's the good. The bad, Jimmy Butler complaining about gas prices. Oh, nothing screams I am out of touch. Like a multi-millionaire NBA star complaining about having to spend $145 on gas filling up his car. Effing highway robbery, he says. Apparently, he was playing pickleball with his friends. Took his Rolls Royce to a gas station to fill up. Because who amongst us hasn't done that? Less than pleased, apparently, according to this Fox News story, when it cost him $145 to fill it up. This is highway effing robbery, he said, as his bill rose to $145. Man, I'm trying to give some of this gas back. Wow. You think if I go in and tell them I put the wrong gas in, they'd give me a refund? This is crazy. Finished the tirade by saying, I'm going electric. Man, nothing says how out of touch some athlete. And I don't think it's all athletes. But nothing says how out of touch an athlete is than complaining about gas prices. He signed a three-year, $146 million deal in his last contract at the Miami Heat. And a $145 gas bill. That's the problem. Jimmy Butler, go away. Last but not least, the ugly. Oh, and it couldn't get any uglier than Skip Bayless, who's just ugly on the inside, ugly on the outside. The FS1 host put up a post on social media on Tuesday morning about Deion Sanders and Colorado. I don't care what you think about Deion Sanders. This is just beyond the pale. Bayless on X, formerly known as Twitter, posting, is Deion's Colorado now Black America's team? Now on Undisputed. Wow. I'll read that again. Is Deion's Colorado now Black America's team? Oregon running backs coach Carlos Lachlan responded, said, quote, nothing in the world is more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. He was quoting Dr. Martin Luther King. George Reitster, the former NFL tight end, I believe, said, does Black America have one voice? Not a good day for Skip Bayless. I'm sure Fox Sports will just let this slide like they do everything else. Because, hey, it's all about them ratings, right? Skip Bayless is 71 years old. He's in out mode. Time to hang him out to dry. They got to be able to do better at FS1 than Skip Bayless, right? They had 3 months or 2 months after Shannon Sharp left to figure it out. And apparently they didn't find anything better. So now they're just surrounding him with a cast of whoever to make that show keep going. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. The podcast available on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. We're back with you tomorrow, noon Eastern. Sam Yarnell will return at that time. We'll have Thursday Night Football preview for you. I'm Jason Page. That's the Cash In. Thanks for being with us.